News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
Now, the Israeli cabinet, we believe, is set to officially agree on the ceasefire deal with Hamas later on this morning after 15 months of conflict. Phase one of the ceasefire is set to begin this Sunday, January the 19th, and will include the release of 33 Israeli hostages. Joining us a little bit earlier on the show to discuss what this means is Sean Bell, former fighter pilot, military analyst and co-host of the Red Matrix podcast. I began by asking Sean, Sean, it looked like this is across the line, but not yet ratified. But how fragile is this deal?
Well, yeah, good morning to you. It's extremely fragile. Let's not kid anybody that we're there yet. It's incredibly important. I mean, it's long overdue. 467 days of fighting, you know, since that fateful day on the 7th of October when, you know, Hamas killed, I think it was 1,200 Israelis and took 251 hostages. But since then, you know, most reports say about 50,000 Palestinians have died, 2 million forced from their homes. So, yes, it begins Sunday the 19th. But, of course, there's loads of details emerging. But even overnight, you know, there, since the deal was announced, there were another 32 Palestinians killed because Israel continues its bombing campaign in Gaza. It doesn't start until Sunday the 19th. And, of course, there's a lot of water that can flow under this bridge till then.
Yeah, and that appears to be, I suppose, the way it was something similar with Lebanon and Israel right up until the ceasefire, the moment of the ceasefire that they will continue to attack. The details of this, what do we know about what's going to happen should this ceasefire hold?
Yeah, it's interesting. There's sort of three phases to this ceasefire. The first one appears to have been all but agreed. Phase two and phase three are subject to negotiation once we're into phase one. But phase one is a six-week ceasefire. Hamas has agreed to release 33 hostages. That's all the women, the children and men aged over 50. This will probably be a sort of enabler, probably by the International Committee of the Red Cross. They previously helped broker the last deal. It's not entirely clear whether these hostages have all got to be alive or whether it's just the hostages. You'll remember there's just under 100 hostages, but about a third of them are believed to be dead. For each release of an Israeli hostage, 30 Palestinian prisoners will be released for any civilian hostages, and 50 Palestinian prisoners will be released for any female soldiers. So that could end up with being well over 1,600 Palestinians released. As a result of that, Israel will pull out the most densely areas of Gaza to a buffer zone on the eastern side. Aid and fuel will start to flow. Before the war, I think it was 600 trucks a day, and they're expecting that to get straight back up to that, although there are a lot of questions about how the security will be managed in there. And, of course, the managed return of Gaza's 2 million to their homes, or at least what's left of their homes after this dreadful bombing.
This idea that Netanyahu is saying that already Hamas is reneging on the hostages, on the hostage negotiations, that Hamas is trying to control which hostages in a different way might be released. What would the implications of that be in terms of Palestinian prisoner release? That would Israel play tit for tat, or could this bring the whole house of cards down?
Well, we've seen that many times. I mean, the details of what you're describing, we understand that Netanyahu is still got to sell this to the Israeli security team. And of course, before he gets the sort of approval. And until then, you know, there's so many details of this, one of which is, although I've just outlined 30 Palestinian prisoners for each civilian hostages, you know, which Palestinian prisoner? There are some Palestinians that are in prison that are sort of multi-murderers. And Israel is very keen not to let Hamas dictate that they get released. And there is some negotiation still about exactly which Palestinian prisoners will be released. Now, whether that's actually true or whether this is part of buying time to try to make sure that any agreement can actually be approved. The problem, of course, of all of this is that phase two, which is actually a permanent end to the ceasefire, and when all the hostages get released, then potentially Israel withdraws completely. That won't begin that negotiation until day 16 of the phase one deal. And phase three is the sort of reconstruction, the return of the dead to Israel. We're a long way away from completing this. And the trouble is, as a military guy, I look at this and go, have they actually solved the problems? Is this both sides actually keen to get to a solution now? And it's pretty clear they're not. You know, Israel has yet to destroy Hamas. And just literally overnight, Hamas's leader, Kamil Al-Haya has been saying Israel didn't achieve its goals, almost gloating. So we're not in a very easy peace here. There's a long way to go before this gets resolved.
Sean Bell, former fighter pilot, military analyst and co-host of the Red Matrix podcast. Thank you indeed for joining us. I'm also joined now by Fleur Hassan Mahoum, Israel's foreign ministry special envoy and outgoing deputy mayor of Jerusalem. Good morning to you, Fleur.
Good morning.
The reaction within Israel to this deal?
A lot of mixed feelings, because on the one hand, our hearts are happy that our hostages are coming home, amongst them a two-year-old baby, a one-year-old baby, which actually we don't even know if they're alive or dead, because Hamas are still playing cruel games and won't say who's actually alive. So we don't know who's coming back in boxes and who's coming back alive. On the other hand, you have the parents and the families of the people who are not on the first phase list of release. So the younger men, let's say, and they don't even know if the second phase is going to happen, because, you know, we're dealing with a terrorist organization. And so really, how much can you trust them? And at the same time, this feeling that Hamas is unfortunately still on its feet after attacking Israel cruelly on October 7th and essentially wanting to for this to be the beginning of the end of the state of Israel, because that is their stated aims. And so there's a lot of mixed feelings. Our hearts and our heads are saying two different things this morning.
Okay. From the outside looking in, however, Fleur, I think most people would have thought that the type of warfare that Israel has engaged in Gaza was never going to completely destroy Hamas, because Hamas are too intertwined with the Palestinian population, and therefore the stated aim to take out Hamas and defeat them entirely was not a possible one. And on that basis, many people would have looked and said, why could this deal not have been done a long time ago?
Because Hamas didn't want the deal. Antony Blinken, I don't think anybody can say he's a big fan of the Israeli prime minister. He said it again and again, that Hamas in May said no, Hamas in March said no, that Hamas has been intransigent. And let's be honest, the only reason Hamas is saying yes today is because Trump is coming into power next week. And they know that the pressure that Trump will bear upon Qatar and other interlocutors and the free hand, let's say it that way, that America will give Israel starting from next week is something they can't bear. And so this is the only reason this is happening now, because it's
so is that what Israelis believe, that the Trump presidency is the game changer in this situation?
Absolutely. There's no other way to look at it.
Okay. The ceasefire, the second phase isn't going to occur for at least 16 days after the phase one occurs. I was asking Sean Bell, a military analyst, just before I spoke to you about how fragile all of this is. He believes it's very fragile. Do you still think that this could, in fact, collapse this deal? Or are you hopeful that this is the beginning of a sustained and permanent ceasefire?
Well, let's look back at the last deal that we had with Hamas for the hostages, which is over a year ago. It was supposed to be a certain amount of hostages every day for ceasefire. After the eighth day or the ninth day, they broke that ceasefire. So yes, is it delicate? It's very delicate. Anything could happen. In fact, this morning, they're trying to renege on a few things. So yes, you're dealing with a terrorist organization that uses their own children as their human shields whilst they hide like cowards in tunnels. Absolutely, it's delicate.
Fleur, many people would say and argue that Israel's response to what was obviously a heinous attack on October 7th was disproportionate. And indeed, you say that they use them as human shields, children, but that still doesn't mean that Israel has to attack civilians or attack children, even if they are used as shields. What do you say to people who say that it is Israel who has been the main aggressor in all of this?
Well, first of all, anybody who says that is completely in denial that we experienced the worst attack on our people. I'm talking about the Jewish people since the Holocaust. And if people want to deny that, then I'm assuming these are the same people that deny the Holocaust. But in terms of disproportionate attack, Israel, if Israel wanted to have flattened Gaza, it could have done it very easily. But instead, we sent messages, we moved people, we created safe zones. We wouldn't have done that. This is a much harder war to fight when we're worrying about their civilians more than they're worrying about their civilians. If they wanted to protect their people, why didn't they let them into the 700 kilometers of tunnels that they have? They have their shelters, and yet they leave their people there. So it's an accusation which I believe is slander. We've done everything we can. We've put our own soldiers' lives on the line to protect civilians. And if you look at any other modern warfare in the last 100 years, Israel has done, and you look at the proportion, actually, even of the civilian casualties, and of course, you can't believe Hamas numbers, but even if you take their numbers, our civilian casualty ratio is the lowest in the 100 years of warfare. So you can judge Israel harshly, and you can put double standards of Israel, but then you have to ask, why is it Israel that you're putting those double standards on?
Fleur Hassan Nahum, Israel's Foreign Ministry Special Envoy and outgoing Deputy Mayor of Jerusalem. Thank you very much for joining us.
News Talk Breakfast with Kira Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7 on News Talk.